Well, I actually have been trying to come up with what should I preach on in the next several weeks. And so I was praying about it, and I was thinking of the holidays that's coming up. And the specific one that's coming up here very soon is our Thanksgiving holiday. So I'm going to do a short series called Being Thankful, or Simply Thankful. And tonight's message will be coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. So I'll give you time to be looking it up. But I was trying to think of, okay, to be thankful. So what should we, as a congregation, how should we put that into practice? And I was thinking that if there's one aspect, just one, that really should, that the congregation should be steeped in, okay? Yes, love would be one of them, but I'm talking about in this season is to be thankful, to thankfulness or gratitude. You might be thinking right now, well, the way my life's going, I don't have a lot to be grateful for. Well, that's not true. If Christ has touched your heart and you have given your life over to him, he's done everything. Okay? I know we've said it ad infinitum that if he does nothing else, he's done it all. And so I will be forever grateful to the Lord. But the good news, and I know the gospel is translated, the good news is that God has much, much more in store for us. Do we go through trials and tribulations? Absolutely. But there's always something he has for us on the other side that we will be grateful to him, and we will know, if you look for it, you'll see his hand in all of these situations. Right now, there's a lot of these situations that look dire, awful, and painful even in certain respects, emotionally and spiritually, but God is there, and he wants to love on you, and he wants to care for you, but you have to recognize and let him do that. And so being thankful, and we're going to get more into this as we in the coming weeks, but it's living with a sense of gratitude. Okay, I know it's easier, and maybe a lot of you can testify that yes, amen, this is true. It's easier to live out your days complaining, right? I mean, I could complain about my knee. I could complain about my shoulder. I can complain about the way my life is going. I can complain about, you know, a number of things that's going on in my life right now. But why would I want to focus on that? Why would I want to focus on that? That has never made me more spiritual to be complainers. And the Bible tells us, don't grumble. Don't be a grumbler. That's one of the reasons the people out in the desert, when they were coming through with Moses, they died off in the desert. Why? Because the majority of the time they complained. It seemed like every time Moses turned around, they were all the time telling him, hey, we could have stayed in Egypt. Weren't there enough graves in Egypt? Or didn't we have, now I don't know what leeks are, L-E-E-K-S, but are they? Like an onion, okay. Why would you want to go back and be a slave over an onion? I know, it's like, didn't we have enough over here? And I'm like, oh my goodness. And the Lord had let them out, made them free, let them out of slavery. And they would have been in the promised land much, much sooner. But they had sent out spies to spy out the land, and of course you had Adam come back with a bad report. Hey, those guys are giants, and we're down here, we're tiny little dwarves, or grasshoppers even. And Joshua and Caleb said, no, no, the Lord has given it into our hand. We can do it. We can take them. And they were ready to go, But the people sided with the grumblers, the complainers, the people who said it can't be done. And that's who they sided with, and the Lord was angry. In fact, there was a couple of times, at least once, but maybe a couple of times, that he wanted to wipe them out and start all over. But Moses was more concerned with God's reputation. Don't you love it? He said, but Lord, he said, if you do this, if you wipe them out, people are going to say you couldn't handle them. You couldn't take care of them. And that's why you wipe them out. And he was worried more about God's reputation. And God relented of wiping them out, even though they probably deserved it. So, I mean, if you think about that, if you could take a thermometer, I don't know what you could possibly measure thankfulness for, but if you take our collective church, okay, our congregation collectively, all of us individually gathered together, and measure how much this congregation is thankful, where would we fall? You don't have to answer that. I just want you to think about it. Where would we fall? Would we be on a high scale of being thankful? Would we be down here in the low scale of being thankful? Are you thankful for waking up in the mornings? Or would be somewhere in the middle, lukewarm, perhaps? I use that word purposely. But lukewarm? So if you could measure how thankful we as a congregation would be, where would we fall on that scale? And so if you think about it, in a similar fashion, churches or congregations, I should more say, when I say church, I usually refer to the Church of Christ, which is all over the world. But I like to say local congregation or something like that when I'm speaking just about us or another congregation. We all have individual personalities. That's a given. We know that. But collectively, okay, if you take all of our personalities and put them together, this church, this congregation, has a personality. Or you might even say a reputation. What would that be? What would that look like to the people who are on the outside? If we have some kind of reputation, are we known, you know, for how much gratitude we have in this church? Do we give God thanks on a very, very regular basis? Are we known for how loving we are in this congregation? Are we known for how we serve people and communities? Are we known for these things? Or are we known for being divisive, argumentative, quarreling, unfriendly? I've actually gotten a letter. It was a very long email. And it started out real good. I thought, wow, man, you know, we hit this on the nail on the head. And right as we got to the end, I was being told that this was the most unfriendly church there was. And I'm like, how? What? How? How? Well, it turns out I really think the person had issues. I truly do. And I wrote a very nice response. One of the responses that she gave was that hardly anybody came to talk to her. It was a woman, so I've done giving that out. But the fact was, she claimed nobody greeted her, which I know for a fact she was greeted at the door multiple times. Nobody come to say hello. Well, and I tried to say, well, look, during this COVID situation, and this was back in 2020, during this COVID situation, I'm like, a lot of us don't know what people want us to do. Some of them want to be just left alone. Don't keep your 6 feet, you know, don't get any closer. Don't breathe on me. Don't cough on me. Don't do anything, you know. And so I have difficulty, and you'll notice I'll put my hand out, and we seem to be play a game, you know. We're doing like this, and I don't know what to do anymore. I don't bump elbows or anything. It's like I don't know what to do anymore. And I tried to let her know. I said, and one other thing, I said, you should I said, when I went out to visit other churches, I said, I got up and introduced myself. I didn't wait for somebody to come say hello, you know, and whatnot. I got up and introduced myself to the people that were around me and got to know them, asked their names. And then when I saw them week after week, I called them by name. Sometimes I would have to ask more than once, what was your name again? You know me, I'm that way. But the thing was, the letter started out really good and then it ended up with grumbling. And I thought, oh my, I said, this person's not grateful, at least not toward our church. So how are we going to be known? What's our reputation going to be? I don't know. And that's something I would like to find out. What do people think about Bethel Chapel? What kind of congregation are we? I know what I want to be. I want to be Eddie says this every once in a while. I want to be the most loving kind of person to anyone and everyone who comes here. And you might say, well, but I know that person's history. I don't care. I don't care. I want to see them on the pew. I want them to hear the gospel. I don't care about their past. Their past is the past. They're made in God's image. So we better recognize that fact. They're made in God's image. But just because you know something about them doesn't mean we should not associate. Look at the people Jesus associated. Eddie preached on it this morning. Three really, really bad women that he never condemned. He did not condemn. And that's the way look, if you're going to imitate anybody, imitate Christ. How are you going to imitate Christ? You read his word. Okay, and so that is yet another thing I'm thankful for, is his word. So how are we going to be known? Well, let's dig into what Paul thinks about the Corinthians. And we'll jump in our first. I want to read both scriptures, and then I'd like you to move back up to the very first one. Okay, so let's read them first. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. Next verse, verse 5. That in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Wow. In everything, he says. So let's go back to verse 4. But notice what he says. We understand, at least if you've read Corinthians, I hope you have, but we understand that Corinthians had problems, okay? The letters were written, and we only know of two. We have two in the Bible, but we know that there were three at least were written. And these letters, too, were circulated. And I mean, they had divisiveness in the church, quarreling, and they had some things that not even the Gentiles would do. I mean, things going on that Paul, if he had been there, he would have cast the person out of the church. It was that bad. But the good news is he thanks God always for what? Or for who? On your behalf, talking about the Corinthians, for what? For the grace of God. So I am thankful for this congregation and the grace that they have received from Christ Jesus. Now, I know it says Jesus Christ there, but typically the name doesn't come before the title. We don't say Trump president. We say President Trump. Or Biden, whichever you want to say, resident Biden. But anyway, the fact is, Jesus Christ, it actually should be the opposite. His title comes first. He's the Messiah, Christ Jesus. But the thing is, Paul is thankful, and I am thankful for not only my own grace that God has bestowed upon me, but the grace that he's bestowed upon you. And it's something we should keep in mind, not just for Thanksgiving or for any of that. I know we're going to sing that song eventually, so much to be thankful for. We always do, right? That's our key song for Thanksgiving. We sing it other times, but that's our key song for Thanksgiving. But it's the same thing. It's the fact that the grace of God, which extends way further than I can even comprehend. Okay, I can't fathom how much grace. Paul even tried to explain it, neither height nor depth and so on and so on. I mean, breadth or width or things that are in this life, things that are, you know, out, whatever. He was given basically everything. The love of Christ. And the fact that the grace that he had from God was bestowed upon them, Paul is saying, I thank my God always, regardless of their problems. So folks, we need, as a congregation, to remember and to begin acting that out, thanking God for other people's salvation or other people's grace that is given to them. Now, yes, you might say, well, they're not living up to the standards that I would think. Well, that's not for you to determine. It's not for me to determine. I know I don't live up to my own standards that I prefer, and I fail and fall short. All of us fall short. But God gives us grace. We get back up again, and we repent. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so when Paul is saying this, he's talking about how grace was manifested to the Corinthians and that they were richly endowed with gifts of the Holy Spirit. In fact, further down in the text, probably just a few scriptures down, he says they came behind in no gift. Came behind in no gift. They had all of them working in the congregation, in the church. And so spiritual gifts are an integral part of a church body like ours. Okay, spiritual gifts. Now you might think, well, I don't have one, or I don't have a good one. Well, I'm sorry. Christ gives gifts as he wills, okay? You don't get to choose. I don't get to choose. Christ gives severally as he wills. And for what purpose? To build up the church. Okay, so you may have one gift today to help build up the church, and then that gift may change. Could change to something else. You never know. Whoever would have thunk I would have became a preacher, okay? Not me. If you would have asked me, well, I don't know when I first started. We were down at the old church, so that goes back a ways. But I was preaching substitute, filling in for Pastor Eddie. But I can remember getting up there, my first sermon, I was all nervous and shaky and probably not letting the Lord have his way because I was trying to do it under my own power. And, you know, eventually you got to get over yourself. And you know, people can have a gift or a knack for speaking to a public audience. And I'm still working on that. But the fact that God has given me grace, oh, it's just, it's so wonderful. I can't put it into words. So the purpose of these gifts, and part of the reason Paul is so thankful is that the gifts are used to build up the congregation into like a powerhouse. Because here's what Jesus said, and I forgot to put this in, dear. I apologize, but I'm going to go ahead and just read it out. In Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus said this. He said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Who's building it? Christ is building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, a lot of people read that scripture, and they think, oh, he's talking about Peter because the word Peter means rock, Well, no, he's like the little rock, okay? He's a little rock. Cephas means a stone, I think. Well, and then they say, oh, no, no, it's not Peter himself. It's the fact, his confession that Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God. No, so it wasn't that either. Christ is the cornerstone. Christ is that rock, and sometimes it's referred to as the rock of offense. You know, people are offended to hear about the gospel. Have you ever had anybody go, oh, no, 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 I don't want to hear anything about that. You know, I've had that done to me before. I don't want to hear anything about that. So I try to sneak it in, because a very common thing people do is, hey, how are you today? Oh, I'm very blessed. Or I'll say, Christ is just absolutely been wonderful to me. And of course, now I've done blown up their whole, you know, I don't want to hear it, because you asked me, how are you doing? And I told you. So yes, it's Christ who's building his church. And we collectively are part of that. And so Paul was very thankful that the Corinthians were part of that, even as imperfect as they were, even as imperfect as we are. Christ has grace enough, love enough to fulfill his works through an imperfect body of people. And that includes me. Okay? We're all imperfect. But Christ can still get the job done through us, thank God. Thank God. And so Paul is thankful that the grace of God has come upon the Corinthian church. And I'm grateful for the same thing, and that it's carried down through the ages to us. But now let's go back to verse 5. This is very interesting to me, because he's saying that because of that grace you received, he said that in everything, not just a few things, in everything, that you are enriched by him. How were they enriched? In all utterance. Let's stop it for a moment and talk about that. In all utterance. What's Paul talking about? They were enriched by Christ with all utterance. Well, first of all, lots of these gifts involved utterance and knowledge, presumably meaning that the Corinthians had been given the gifts of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and knowledge to an extraordinary degree. Okay? We can't take away from that. Even though they had their problems, they did it. So utterance has to do with the outward expression. Okay, the outward expression, that's the utterance. But then he says they were also enriched by him, not only in all utterance, but in all knowledge. Knowledge is the inward comprehension. That's when you understand what the gospel means. That's when an unbeliever realizes that they are a sinner. Didn't that happen to you one day? Didn't you realize that, oh no, I'm a sinner. If I die today, I'm not going to heaven. I'm going to hell. And I always thought it interesting, Eddie would pray that God wouldn't come, because he's not ready yet. He's not ready yet, when he could have just as easily prayed a prayer of salvation and been ready. But he would pray that the Lord not come tonight. But the fact is, there was a time when the Lord tugged at my heart and he drew me to him, and I went forward, confessed my sins to him, and he saved me. What I didn't know was, during the week of revival, you didn't have to do it every night. I did it every night. But afterwards, I had fire, I had vigor. Okay, it didn't seem like I could get enough of coming to the church to hear about the Lord. But the problem in that respect, I had no one to really mentor me. They didn't take me under their wing and kind of help me out when I was struggling and whatnot. And trust me, I went through a lot of struggles as a teenager. That's when I first came to the Lord. So I began to drift. Okay? The Lord didn't move. I did. I began to drift. And eventually I drifted to where I wasn't even going to church at all. Now, did I lose my belief in God? No. I don't know, and I can't say for certain if I lost my salvation, but I still believed, but I just didn't go to church. I think one of the songs that hurt the church more than anything was Tom T. Hall. Remember that song he did? Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Well, every time I tried to invite somebody to church back then, they'd quote that. No. Me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. Well, you tend to look and you find out, yeah, they had something going on, but I don't know if it was Jesus in the mix, but they had stuff going on. So yes, did they have specific problems? Yes, they did. Do we have problems? Yes, we do. But God's grace and his enrichment to us with all utterance and knowledge, okay, comprehension, the Lord gives us wisdom. And it's the fact that we are keen now to the grace of God, but what we might not grasp, and I'll be honest with you, I have a hard time with it sometimes, is how far does grace go? Oh, it can go so far, save any sinner from the worst kind of life. Okay? And I don't want to spout out any kinds of sins and whatnot, but you know what I'm talking about. Think of the worst kind of sinner you can think of. God can save that person. He absolutely can. And so Paul is aware that the grace of Christ Jesus can extend so far beyond what we realize. And so what I want you to walk away with here tonight, at least in part of this series, is to be grateful, to have gratitude, to have thankfulness, not only toward your own salvation, but to others. Even when you see one of us do something maybe not quite right, just pray for us. Pray that God will have grace and love and mercy on us, and that we will come back to him and draw closer to him like I eventually did. I drew closer to him, and it just changed me. It overwhelmed me. So when you walk out of here, be thankful that God is overseeing all of this, not just here. He's overseeing all of these bodies of Christ in different scenarios, different situations, and he pours out his love and his grace to each one of us. So I'm thankful. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. I thank you, Lord, for your salvation. I pray for those who are not yet saved, Lord, that they will come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and will accept his salvation. And Lord, I pray for every soul represented here tonight and whoever's hearing me on the CD. Lord, I just pray, God, that your grace will extend and that people will grab hold of what it means and what Paul is saying when he said he was thankful for the grace that was given to the Corinthians. It's given to us as well. So, Father, if there's anyone who needs prayer, who needs to draw closer to you, I pray that they come up for prayer and that, God, that we will pray for them and that, Lord, that you would enrich them also with all utterance and all knowledge and wisdom and grace. We ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.